Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Minister for Arts, Culture, Communications, Media and Sport, Patrick O'Donovan. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Carmack, and good afternoon to the listeners.
Thank you very much indeed for joining us. Look, there's an awful lot of issues on your table that have been in the headlines this week, but front and centre is your sports brief for sure. It's been called an absurd and bizarre controversy, but the Scorts debacle is a controversy, Minister. And it's one which now threatens tomorrow's Munster final between Cork and Waterford. And it's at your desk because the GPA has called on you to ensure that tomorrow's final goes ahead, even if the teams wear shorts, as is their stated intention, instead of skorts, which is the obligation under the rules. This is what, can I play you this in case you haven't heard and the listeners haven't heard? This is what Niamh Begley of the GPA told us earlier in the programme.
What we're really calling for is, I suppose, an immediate relaxation of the rules, a temporary interim solution, a derogation from the rule that would allow the wearing of shorts to get us through the next 2 weeks up to Special Congress and would facilitate games going ahead without putting volunteers and administrators and officials and players in a possible position in the best interests of our game.
Minister, will you help the players here?
Well, first of all, look, I think the situation here is more than regrettable. What has happened is that we now have a situation where the Munster final is being overshadowed by probably a discussion in the media that is really, to be honest about, is probably unnecessary, but it is what it is. The Camogie Association is an independent organisation. It's a national governing body of sport. It's properly constituted. It has its own rules and it has its own constitution laid down by the members, and it is no different to any other sporting organisation in the country in the sense that it sets its own parameters for the playing of its games. And as Minister with responsibility for the department, I respect that, and I respect the fact that that they are an independent association with responsibility for looking after one of the most ancient games in the world.
Without doubt, from a woman's point of view. You've been called on specifically now by the GPA, who represents the players, and there is no association really without the players, to intervene in this dispute, will you?
So I spoke to the when I got alerted today to the fact that the GPA had issued a statement, I spoke to the chief executive of the GPA. I also spoke to the president of the Camogie Association, Brian Malai, and you know, just to see where exactly this issue was at. And I say this in the context now of somebody whose two daughters have started playing Camogie and whose wife plays Camogie. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying this, I suppose, at the advantage of being somebody whose family are involved in this. My two little girls are playing for Monaghan and my wife played for a club called Croke and Kilfinney. So the issue at heart here is the governance and structure of the organisation. And I'm being asked to interfere in the rules of an organisation that have been set out quite clearly, but have also been indicated very firmly that they're going to change in 2 weeks' time. And what I would hope would happen is that cool heads would prevail here and that an opportunity for calmness would prevail here. The Camogie Association are constituted properly. They haven't done anything wrong with regard to their rules. They have set a process in place in terms of changing them. Well, earliest possible date that the president of the association said to me today.
Okay, can I put this to you? The way you interpret that now, after your intervention with the GPA and the Camogie Association, that this is about the governance and the structure and the rules of the association, you heard there from the GPA that they feel it's about player welfare and comfort and performance, and that they want an interim relaxation. It doesn't seem like a big ask, really, until, and you say the rules will change in 2 weeks. We don't know for sure. There's a motion in 2 weeks that might change the rules. What's wrong with their request for an interim relaxation of the rules?
There's absolutely nothing wrong with it, and I fully understand, and I'm speaking as a man, you know, and I've heard an awful lot of men on the radio in the last couple of days, you know, with an awful lot of expert knowledge of what skorts are, which is another issue, of course. I mean, it's the voices of an awful lot of women is what we should be hearing in this. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. What I have said to the president of the association is I relayed an awful lot of the concerns that have come to me. I fully appreciate as well, by the way, the measures and the rounds that he has gone to bring forward in an unprecedented way a Congress with a single item agenda. And look,
couldn't he do that sooner? Why couldn't he do it this evening, for example?
My understanding is that there's a minimum time frame that has to be notified to the members. And like at the end of the day, these are all volunteers that are running the association all over the country. And, you know, I know the question that you're asking me, why don't I wade in here? But like, what about the next sporting organisation that, you know, there's an issue with?
I understand that, but I don't know if you heard Gary Gannon of the Social Democrats, and it's a point Sarah put to him about precedent. And he said, wherever women's sport is impacted by issues like this, the minister should intervene. You should be up all night trying to sort this out. He said, otherwise it's an abdication of your responsibility.
Yeah, and look, that's a great soundbite, but in practical terms, running a department is totally different to soundbite politics. I have the absolute confidence in the Camogie Association, who are affiliated to Sport Ireland and who have a constitution and a rules laid down to do the right thing by their members.
What about the GPA's concerns, though?
The GPA's concerns are legitimate, and I accept them. And I accept that any woman playing a match should not be told, you know, the basis on which her clothing needs to be worn or not worn.
So they should have the right then tomorrow in the Munster final, if it goes ahead. We still don't know if it is going ahead. I think there was a Munster Council meeting today. But if they attend in shorts and gear, play in shorts, let's say, or line out in shorts, I mean, should the match go ahead, in your opinion?
So there is a process here. And I know, what's being requested of me here now is to wade in and to essentially take over the operation of the Camogie Association, which I can't do. And even if I could do, I wouldn't do.
But you wouldn't like the match to be abandoned, surely?
No, obviously. Look, I mean, okay, it's a provincial final in my own province. And I've asked, you know, for cool heads here, and that, if possible, a resolution to make sure that the match can go ahead. But in saying that, in also seeing that the short term, 2 weeks up the road, is a change that 2 weeks ago nobody could have foresaw, that there would be a Congress of, you know, the Camogie Association of Ireland bringing forward a rule change to allow people to wear what they want to wear.
You have intervened in sorts here, because that question is, you wouldn't like the match to be abandoned. You say you would not, and the players have stated their intention to wear shorts. So it seems quite clear that you would like the protest maybe to be allowed, but not the match to be abandoned either. Would that be fair?
Well, I didn't say that at all, actually, to be honest about it, Cormac. I mean, I see the difficulty that the Camogie Association is in terms of being the governing authority of the Camogie game in Ireland. I fully understand the fact that they have to work within a set of rules, and they have a constitution, and they have to have regard to their membership, and they also have to have regard to a vote that was taken at their previous Congress. I also see it as a parent of two girls who started playing Camogie, that the likelihood of them wearing skirts or shorts into the future is a matter that they should be able to determine themselves. And the association, I think, have gone a long way. I don't think 2 weeks ago, for instance, anybody could have foresaw that the Camogie Association would be bringing forward a special Congress within 2 weeks to try and resolve this issue.
Okay.
And I hope that, you know, in the interests of the Munster Championship, and I think there'll probably be a bigger crowd at it tomorrow now than there has ever been at a Munster final, which is a good
thing.
That we see a good Munster final, and ultimately the game will be the biggest winner.
Okay. Can I ask you really briefly about this, since you were talking to the Camogie Association? We made an awful lot of calls in this, as you would expect, during the week. And one official at county level said to us, didn't want to come on air, said they kind of feel bounced into all of this. Would that be a fair summation, do you think?
And look, to be honest about it, that's what some politicians are calling, you know, for me to actually intervene in the Camogie Association would actually, you know, that would be the net result of it. And I have to be very conscious of the fact that while I'm minister with responsibility for the policy and the Department of Sport, I am not minister with regard to any one individual sport. And sports are constituted under Sport Ireland with individual constitutions, with rule books that are signed off on by their individual associations, and members can change the rules. And in this case, there will be an opportunity in a fortnight for the members to change the rules. And it would be, I think, it would be, for me personally, as a father of two children who are playing camogie, but not only that, for me as a minister, to start intervening in the day-to-day operation of sporting bodies, notwithstanding the fact that the players have said that they want to change. And I think that that's, in 2025, I think that's a legitimate ask.
No direct intervention from you then. I would like clarity, though, on behalf of all those people that will attend the Munster final tomorrow, if the players line out in shorts, will the match be abandoned or will it go ahead? Surely they can clarify that for us in the next half hour or so. Can I move on, Minister, and ask you about another matter? I know you're heading to Hollywood soon on a mission because we've heard talk this week of the US President Donald Trump and that statement about a 100% tariff on non-US made films, which would impact the movie industry here. When you do head to Hollywood, what will your message be?
Well, first of all, I think it's important to point out that as Minister with Responsibility for Media, it's incumbent upon me to have a good relationship with studios, not just in the United States of America, but elsewhere as well. So this has been on the cards for a while since I went into the department, that we would have a trade mission with Screen Ireland, which we just had a discussion with them yesterday and more recently in the last couple of weeks, around what that would look like. I haven't firm date or anything like that yet. But it is important that we would look to the positives that have been achieved from a screen and a film industry point of view over the last number of years into Ireland, particularly in the regions. In my own region here, we have Tri Studios that have just in the recent past finished, you know, a series for TV in the United States, and have also produced film for Netflix. So there are a number of locations around the country that are doing excellent work. In Screen Ireland, it was referred to me in St. Patrick's Day when I was in the United States, are by far and away, and it was referred to me, head, neck and shoulders above other film commissions around the world globally.
And we're the type of countries, I'd say, that Donald Trump was talking about when he said that the American movie industry was dying a very fast death due to the incentives that other countries were offering to lure filmmakers.
Yeah, and look, I mean, that's an opinion, but each of the individual states in the United States offer incentives. So like Georgia, South Carolina, they offer particular incentives. California offer different ones. So, you know, when film is moving out of California, it might not necessarily be moving to Europe. It could be moving to Georgia.
Okay.
So, you know, and there's no such thing as a film being made in a country. Like collaboration between Ireland and Belgium, Ireland and Canada, Ireland and the United States, that happens routinely. So is there a film that's 100% manufactured in a 100% location? Highly unlikely.
Okay, so your message will be nuanced and detailed is what I'm getting there. Can I ask you what your leader, the Taoiseach Simon Harris, has been saying as well? This caught headlines as well. He's saying that consideration should be given for a social media ban for children under 16s, and he's asked you and your department to look at what's other jurisdictions like Australia are doing. How far advanced are you?
So we're already started that work, and I met with the safety commissioner with regard to this a number of weeks ago. It is a huge concern with regard to myself as a parent, but as well as that for people that I represent in my own constituency and in my role as a minister. And what I'm doing at the moment is we have a piece of work underway to examine what's happening in other like-minded jurisdictions, Australia, New Zealand, Canada and places like that, to see how children and vulnerable adults and vulnerable others can be protected online.
And what's your own view? Should it be banned under 16?
My own view is, look, the Taoiseach is spot on with regard to this. You know, we have a serious problem here with regard to abuses that are taking place online, and it's not only children, it's also vulnerable adults. And when you were bullied going to school, when I was going to school, the bullying ended when you came out the gate. Now, unfortunately, it's following people home, and you know, there's profound mental health problems being caused by this. We know that. So we can't have a situation where platforms are, you know, in this kind of a bubble. Oh, it's nothing to do with us, move along. It has everything to do with them. But we need to operate within the confines of the law, as they're laid down within the European context and also within the national context. So what we're going to do first of all is to see what other jurisdictions are going to do, examine to see if those formula can be used in an Irish context, and if they can, we'll bring proposals forward on that basis. I'm meeting the two European commissioners with regard to this next week, Commissioner Michael McGrath being one of them, and I'm very conscious that with the presidency of the European Union coming up next year for 2026, one of the main themes from our department's point of view will be working towards to protect children online.
Okay. Minister Patrick O'Donovan, thank you very much indeed.